questions of the night. You know, night time seems to bring out the inquisitiveness in some people. I can't tell you how many late night phone calls I've had down through the years with people just needing to talk, people just wanting some answers. When I was involved in camping ministry, people would show up late at night just to talk. I've been on a lot of campouts and a lot of retreats, and it seems to be once dark falls in and people get quiet, after the day's over, their questions and their doubts and their fears and their need for answers takes over. I want to tell you this morning, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to have some doubts. It's okay to seek those answers. It's okay to want some understanding. John chapter 3 talks about somebody who came at night wanting some answers. It was Nicodemus. Some have a lot of different thoughts on why he came to Jesus at night. Who was he? You know, really, who was this man? Some said that he came at night because he was too anxious to wait until daytime to come to Jesus. The simple fact is Nicodemus was a man of influence. He was in a high-ranking religious position, and he had to be extremely careful. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the most prestigious court of 70 prominent leaders recognized as experts in the laws of Moses. Their job is to protect Israel from false teachers and religious heresy. If I were to refer to someone as a Pharisee, you would understand that that person is to be all about things and laws and rules and regulations. That was the group that sought to do away with Jesus. Nicodemus was not totally of that establishment. Jesus Christ certainly was not of the establishment of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. So here is Nicodemus with all of these thoughts going through his mind about Jesus. One must know the laws of Moses. One must apply the meaning of the laws. One must practice the laws of purity and proper worship of God. All of that in order to get to heaven. As far as Nicodemus was concerned, all good Israelites were born of Jewish parents. They were circumcised on the eighth day. They were in a covenant relationship with God, and maintenance of that relationship was obedience to the laws, to the rules, to the regulations. You got to heaven through works. You got to heaven through actions. And if I'm a good enough person, I will make it to the feet of God in heaven someday. So here comes Nicodemus, a very well-trained man who also had heard the stories of Jesus Christ. He did not look at him as the Messiah, but he looked at him as a rabbi, a great teacher. The Bible doesn't tell us where Nicodemus met up with Jesus, just that he met up with him at night. I kind of, in my mind, think that maybe it was one of those nice evenings and Jesus was sitting up on a rooftop somewhere and Nicodemus came out looking for him and spotted him there and walked up the steps onto that house and sat down by Jesus and just started talking to him. Jesus may have been praying, he may have been thinking, he may have been contemplating things already. But Nicodemus found him. I don't understand everything going through their minds, but I do understand that this well-educated, trained religious leader did not understand the simple concept of new birth that Jesus Christ was talking about. We find a very simple question in John chapter 3, verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Have you ever wanted to do that? Just kind of go hide somewhere and wish that you were a baby again and your mother could take care of you and you didn't have to worry about a thing in the world? Good, I'm not the only strange one here. how can a man be born again? But you have to look back at the previous statement to understand a little bit where that came from. If you look at the second and third verses of John chapter 3, you'll find he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Jesus didn't mince any words with him. He didn't get down to any just going around the corner. He just simply said, "You've got to be born again in order to get to heaven." He knew what Nicodemus was thinking. He knew what Nicodemus had been raised under. He knew all this stuff about him, and he knew exactly what Nicodemus was thinking. You got to get to heaven on works. And so he came right at him and said, "You've got to be born again." And Jesus was talking about something that Nicodemus could understand. If you look at verse 5, you see Jesus talking about the simple fact, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of what? The water and the Spirit." Now, you got to go back into the Jewish customs a little bit to understand that statement, because when a person was baptized, they promised to renounce idolatry. They promised to take the God of Israel for their God. They promised to conform life to the concepts of the divine law. What does water do? It washes us. You go back to a lot of these things in the Old Testament and you find the rites of purification. Because Nicodemus was a well-trained man, he understood all those things about the rites of purification. Numbers chapter 19 talks about some things. It says, a person touched a corpse, or if they touched a human bone, or if they touched a grave, they were impure for 7 days. On the third day and the seventh day, somebody washed them with water, sprinkled water on them to get all the germs off. On the seventh day, they would wash their clothes, they would take a bath, and then at nightfall, they were considered clean once again. If a woman gave birth, she was considered unclean for a specified period of time. And then they had this whole big thing to make her pure again. Purity came from ceremonies. Purity came from rites. Purity came because they went through this whole big process. I got to tell you, if we'd wash our hands a lot more, we'd be a whole lot cleaner today. Well, most of us do wash our hands a lot. If we would follow some of these laws in the Old Testament about purity and about cleansing, there'd be a lot less sickness in the world. Now, the other thing that I found here is if a person was considered unclean, they couldn't be around anybody. If somebody came up to them and touched that person, they were also unclean and had to go through all this stuff. So people were very careful if you were unclean. Just plan on spending some time alone. So fellowship came from cleanliness. If you wanted to be around people, you better stay clean. Cleanliness is equal to purity. It's equal to what we would understand to be a pure, holy life. So to understand where Nicodemus is coming from, you need to understand all of that. You also need to understand the fact that Nicodemus was going on this old concept, I have to do these works on my own willpower. It's only because of what I do in accordance with God's laws that's going to get me into heaven. Sometimes we'll come up to something and say, well, I just have to do this. I've got a friend that has lost 50 pounds. Absolutely amazing. But he went to the doctor one day because he wasn't feeling good, and the doctor said, if you don't start losing this weight, you're going to end up in the same shape your dad was in, and you're going to be diabetic, and you're going to be on insulin, and you're going to have to do this and this and this, and it scared him half to death. And he decided, I don't want that. And so he just started eating right and exercising and living right. He did it on his own willpower because he had this change of mind that just said, I have to do this. That had an effect on another friend of his who you know, Al Dicer. When Al Dicer comes here for revival in May, you're going to see a lot smaller man than you saw when he was here last spring because he has also lost 40 pounds. How did he do it? Pure
willpower.
But let me tell you, when we start changing our spiritual lives, we can't do it on pure willpower. And that's what Jesus was trying to get through to Nicodemus. You can't do it on your own. You do it because the power and the blood of Jesus Christ washes you clean, and then he fills you with the Spirit. Nick went to him and said, "You're a teacher come from God. Only someone in touch with God can do godly miracles." Nicodemus recognized that there was something special about Jesus Christ. He reached out to Jesus' identity, but Jesus did not want an identity lesson. He wanted to get into the operations manual for Christianity 101. You have to be born of the Spirit. And that becomes an inner work where we do all of the above things that God requires us to do, not on willpower, but automatically, because it's God in our lives. The water washes and cleanses us, but the Spirit makes us holy and purifies the inner workings of our life. And so it becomes a born again in action, in attitude, in desires. Because I'm doing this because God is empowering me to live this holy life. And I don't have to do it on my own. And when I can get that into my head, it changes everything. It takes the struggle out of being a Christian. I think Jesus taught Nicodemus three things that day. The first one was the amazing gift of love. You know the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Wow. I've watched love in action lately with people. I've watched some husbands with very ill wives tenderly, compassionately take care of them day after day after day. I've watched some of you with ill parents in the last few years take care of them day after day after day. That's a human love in action. I've watched parents deal with their children and children deal with parents both ways, not just in matters of health, but in a lot of other matters where it becomes a, "I'm doing this because I really deeply care for you." I've watched friends do things for other friends because they have this deep love and respect for one another and they really reach out. But here we're talking about God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And you have to go back into the Old Testament to the whole system of sacrifices, of sacrificing the blood on an animal on an altar so that somebody could have their sins washed. And Jesus Christ came to be that final sacrificial lamb to wash away our sins with his blood. But that amazing gift of love came from God, who sent his only son, and came from Jesus, who was willing to give his life. That I don't have to do it on my own power anymore, but I do it on the power of God. The amazing gift of love. The amazing gift of eternal life was the second thing that Jesus talked to Nick about. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Well, we know the simple fact is this. Our spirit lives on forever. It's going to live one place or the other. There's a whole bunch of artwork out there that describes the other place. And every time I look at those, I see smoke and I see fire and I see people just kind of just all over each other because there's not enough room there for everybody, and so they're just kind of crammed in. But when I start and stop thinking about eternal life, I think about life with purpose, life with hope, life worshiping God. And so I start thinking about eternal life as being heaven. I've known very few people in my lifetime that did not want to get to heaven. Maybe only two or three have said, "I don't care if I get to heaven or not." Those are tough funerals to have. Jesus Christ is saying you can have eternal life, and it's easy to do. All you have to say is, Lord, fill me with you. Lord, forgive me of my wrong ways. And then I think the third thing that Nicodemus learned from Jesus was the amazing gift of fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Remember, when you're impure, when you have not gone through the rites of purification, when you're going through those rites of purification in the Old Testament, you did not have fellowship with other people. You were off by yourself. Nobody dared come near you except the person that had a hose that was going to spray you off. And so if you want that relationship with others, you have to be clean. To have relationship with God, we have to have cleanness on the inside. My relationship with other people is important. My relationship to Jesus Christ is the most important one that I will have or ever will have. All the rest of my relationships are based on that one as a foundation. I believe that when Nicodemus was talking to Jesus, that he left that rooftop that day transformed. Like Zacchaeus of last week, I don't see either one of them, after their main stories that are told in the Bible, going out and doing anything different other than what they always did. Zacchaeus went out and was still a tax man, but a tax man with integrity. I think Nicodemus went out and was still a government leader, still a religious leader, but I believe that he began to do it with a different sense in his mind of who Jesus Christ was, the Messiah come from heaven. We can only assume that they continued their original jobs, but that they did it with integrity. It tells me that we need people to be witnesses and people of integrity with God's armor on every day, everywhere we go, and whatever we do. We find Nicodemus again mentioned at the tomb. I believe if you do a study of the scriptures, you will not find Nicodemus there with the Sanhedrin when they condemned Jesus to death. I don't think he was there. I think he was off traveling somewhere else. But in John chapter 19, around verse 40, we find Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. A man who was part of the Sanhedrin that wandered away with Jesus, now taking care humbly of his earthly remains. A life transformed. Here's some final thoughts. It's okay to go to Jesus in the secret hours of the night. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to have some doubts. It's okay to have some fears about the whole thing. But when those fears are answered, when those questions are answered, when the doubts are all gone, our praise and our thanksgiving and our glorifying to God needs to be done in the daylight, unashamed, and ready to worship Him. When we're transformed, that's what we do. Bow your heads with me. Father, what we need today more than anything else is a transformation. A transformation that makes us totally unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Totally ready to go out and be your witness anywhere that we go, anytime. But Father, that transformation only comes when we say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to take care of things. I want you to change me. So Father, I just say this morning, if there's anybody here that needs to be changed, let them pray to you right now, either in their seats or up here at the altar or wherever, Father. Just gain entrance into their lives as the Savior, as the King, as the Transformer. Folks, I just wonder, does anyone want to pray this morning? Does anyone just want to come up and talk to God about the issues of their life, about this whole thing of new birth, about the whole thing of life transformation? We'll wait just a moment if anybody does, because I believe this is important. We all want good relationships, but they start with a good relationship with God. Father, I believe you're talking to some people this morning and you're going to transform some lives. Keep this message ringing in our hearts and our lives. You're the way to heaven. You give us the power to live a new life. You will transform us. We can be different people. Thank you, Father, for your amazing power and love. We praise you today in all things. You are free to go. See you at 4 o'clock.